and use.
Okay, thanks for coming in here. My name is Scott Lake. I work at the University of Wyoming. We're going to talk about embryo transfer today. And it's kind of a hard topic to talk about a bunch of commercial cattlemen, why we want to do embryo transfer. So my job here, and to start off, I think it's generally accepted that most academic people are probably half worthless. And I've recently been moved into an administrative role, so that means I'm probably pretty much mostly worthless. So I'm just going to introduce the topic. I'm going to try to get you to think outside the box a little bit, maybe present a few ideas, but I'm going to turn it over to Jacqueline, who's got a pretty cool story, and they're actually doing some of this stuff. So, disclaimer, I'm actually a nutritionist. So I got my degree in ruminant nutrition. All my research is nutrition by reproduction interactions, and I've always really enjoyed the reproduction side, the applied science of it. So I've gone to schools and clinics and done all that stuff, so I do some embryo work, and I guess I would say I mess around with it and the fact that it's not my day job. So why embryo transfer? And I know you guys, from sitting in the audience, I know you can't see these slides. I can barely see them from here. So my first line says, by definition, beef is a commodity, right? I'm sorry, beef is a commodity. By definition, that means that it's a break-even game. We're already set up to just break even. And I know from personal experience, if you have any kind of leases that you're paying, any kind of operating costs that you're paying in terms of loans, it's almost impossible to break even, just the way the markets are set up. So we're always trying to think outside the box. So I put on there different technologies that we use between implants, ionophores, beta agonists. So how does ET fit into this for the commercial cattleman? So for the seed stock producer, it's pretty obvious, right? We're trying to propagate our genetics. We're trying to create better, more quality animals that we can sell. We can actually ship them overseas. So how does it fit in for the commercial guy? That's what I keep trying to talk myself into. And what I would think is, in today's market, bulls are really expensive. So depending, and this isn't going to fit for everybody, but depending on the type of cattle you have, how good they are, and what you're trying to accomplish, there's probably some pretty good opportunity to raise your own bulls. Maybe you can own a few seed stock cows that you're flushing, raising your own bulls. So I want to talk just for a minute about, so everybody understands exactly what the process of embryo transfer is, and then I'm going to pass the mic on over. So embryo transfer, what we're trying to do is we're trying to superovulate these cows. We're going to produce multiple embryos. We're going to breed them, and we're going to hope to get 7 to 12 to 15 embryos per flush. We can put them in fresh. We can put them in frozen. Okay? It's high intensity. If we're going to flush cows, we're giving them shots. We're setting them up just like AI, and then we're going to give them a round of 4 days of shots twice a day. So when you think about working cattle for a 10-day period, we're working them a lot. So it's very high intensive. As far as putting embryos in, there's an opportunity for you to put embryos in yourself. If you're proficient at AI, it's actually not that much harder. I mean, with a little training, you could do it yourself. Now, you're not going to be certified, but if you're putting your own in, it's actually pretty easy to accomplish. I put this slide in here for no other reason. I think it's pretty cool. We teach a lot of AI schools, so this is like a radiograph of the female reproductive tract. You can see a rod right here coming in, right about to where if we were doing AI, where we'd deposit that semen. If we were doing embryo transfer and we were putting an embryo in, we're going to run that rod right up into here. You can use the same rod. They come in the same size straws, and that's where we deposit. You got to become proficient at palpating ovaries, knowing CLs and stuff like that. But from the process, it's not that much more technical than AI. And I like to tell people that it's really a simple process. Putting embryos in, flushing cows is really a simple process, but it's hard to do. It's not rocket science, but it takes a lot of practice to feel it. So on the recip side, it's not quite as intensive. We set them up just like AI. We're going to watch heats. We're going to put the embryos in 7 days later from when we see them standing. So a common thing we do is a 7-day co-sync protocol. Put a cedar in them, pull it, go through the GnRH and the luteolize, We would watch them just like we're going to breed them. We record when they come in. And on the recip side, we put embryos in 7 days later. So pretty simple. This slide, again, I know you're not going to be able to see it, but let me just go through it real quick. This is just the cost. Now, this is the flushing side. This is not putting them in, okay? And these are variable depending on who you have do it. But the cost, and I like to break it down per embryo and per pregnancy. So I got two columns here. One would be if I got 7 eggs, one if I got 12 eggs, okay? Run through all these different costs. The bottom line is if I figure a 60% conception rate, I'm looking at, if I only flush 7 eggs out of a cow, it's going to cost me about $275 for that pregnancy. Now, back to the beginning when I said, why would we do this? If I'm trying to raise bulls, and I've definitely got developmental cost, but this could be a cheaper alternative if I can raise quality bulls. Okay. Now, if I look at the 12 eggs per flush, that pregnancy cost is down to $180. The one thing I will caution on embryo transfers, you only hear about the good stories, right? I hear all the time about people getting 20 eggs out of a cow or getting 15 eggs, and they're all number ones. And I got 75% conception rate. It is highly variable, and you're not going to have successes like that all the time. Just like AI, and if you AI long enough, you're going to have a disaster. When you flush cows, you're going to have a lot of strikeouts. And so that's my introduction. So on a side note, not to waste time, but as an extension guy, I recycle slides my whole life. I've been doing this for like 15 years. So this is a picture of me and my son riding, gathering cows up in the summer, pushing them to summer pasture. You can't tell in this picture, but he broke his arm and he's riding with me on this horse. I think he's 3. That kid's a sophomore in high school now, and he's taller than I am. So I can't get him to reenact the picture with me, so I have to keep this one. So...
Thanks, Scott. So mostly what Scott talked about is about the scientific part of it, about the embryo collection and also utilizing recips. So to kind of go into a little bit what we're going to talk about today, we're going to be talking about using them as a profit center, as another opportunity for those that may be in commercial cow-calf production to utilize maybe some of those rebreeds, or also as another opportunity for an income. So, Jacqueline Wilson from Wilson Flying Diamond Ranch and Flying Diamond Genetics. We have two locations. The one on the lower part is the home place that was founded in 1888. I'm the fifth generation that's back working on the operation. And the one up to the left is an opportunity I had about 2.5 years ago, which was to lease another ranch and expand the recip business, along with purchasing some of that operation's cattle. This is our home place. If you saw the cow dog demonstration, those are some of our feeder heifers out there, and they're not Solaires. They're actually Red Angus and Red Sim composites. So the question I get asked all the time is, how did you get started in the business? Why did you decide to do recips? And it comes down to one word, and that was succession. So I went home from college in 2002 and joined my dad and my uncle in our operation. I do have a sibling. He's younger than me. He lives in Omaha and is in real estate, has no interest in coming back to the operation. But my parents always had this thought process that because there's two of you, we still need to split the operation in half. And so when I started running numbers, it wasn't going to work. When that day came for me, I needed another additional source of income. So I had a gentleman that I served with at that time, a Nebraska Cattleman Board of Directors, that said, hey, you need to try this. Start putting this together, and this is what you need to look into. So I did. At that time, like Scott said earlier, those embryos are 7 days old when they are implanted in the cow. I didn't know that at that time. That first year, I was as blonde as I am up here, and it was definitely a learning experience. But luckily, it's grown and it's developed some. The other reason, it's an opportunity to keep quality cows in production. At our home place, if a cow was open, she was gone. It didn't matter if she was the top producer on the place or one of our favorite, she was gone. And with our shortened breeding season at our home operation, it gave me a real opportune time to collect some of those cows and put them back into production. And they've been some of my top producers now as recips. And the third reason was additional revenue source. I can charge over double the value of a market price on an animal. Yes, there's more input costs, and yes, more labor, but all in all, I can still make more raising a recip calf than I can raising a natural sire calf. So this is the timeline of Flying Diamond Genetics. how it got started, it was in 2012, we had a severe drought. I'm sure some of you remember that. It was probably one of the worst ones that I had been around. And we knew we were going to have some open cows. And I just by looking at what the neighbors were having show up open, and we knew we were going to have some good open cows. So I kind of thought it would be a good opportune time to grab some of those opens from our home operation and to start this business. 2013, we implanted our first embryos. How that came about is I really didn't know how to market it. It's such a niche market. So I put a thing out on social media, and I kind of went through my Facebook page, and there was 24 people in there that I sent emails to that I thought may or may not be interested. Within 12 hours, 12 of those had responded, and within 24 hours, I was completely booked for the first year. So there, I did find out there was a huge demand for this. Had our first calf crop in 2014. Conception rates were, in embryos, I should warn you about nationwide conception rate on an IVF embryo is about 35%. On a conventional, it's about 50%. That's something that's a little challenging to get used to and something we always strive to make a lot better. So had our first fat calf crop in 2014. In 2017, had the opportunity to lease that other operation and then also purchase additional recips. 2018, we started a fall herd, and the reason that got started is I had a number of cows that I was calving at the home place that were May calvers and needed to put them up into the second operation so we can continue to expand at home, and so just held those over into a fall herd. So we're working on that fall herd. We actually put seeders in on those this coming Sunday. And then in 2019, as you could go back to that slide, you see there's a little bit of distance between those two operations, about 70 miles, and I was making those daily trips back and forth along with trying to manage my dad's part of the herd at the home place, and I was tired. And so I brought in a business partner. And the reason I did that instead of just hiring additional help is there's such a finesse and attention to detail that's necessary in raising recips that I wanted somebody that had an invested interest. And that's when Jamie joined the operation in May of this year. And she's been a phenomenal addition. So how does it work? How is our recip program set up? So we work, there's a number of ways you can set this up in terms of receiving income, and I've heard a number of them. Some people do it just a flat rate, some do it on a price, on a weight basis. There's multiple different ways to do it. But how I set it up was as a four-time payment. We get paid at implantation, when we preg, and we also do fetal at that time, at the birth of that calf, and then weaning and delivery of that calf. And we backload it, just because the conception rates are so low. Like I mentioned before, it's usually about 2 to, depending on the year of the mark, about 2 to 2.12% above current market value that we're getting for a weaned calf. So we have three options right now for calving season. We calve in February, March, and September is when we implant specifically for our embryo clients. And we cover all expenses, including creep, with exceptions. Now, you'll find out there's a lot of interesting things that come out when you're dealing with clients that are putting in embryos. For instance, we did have an issue a couple years ago with some genetic diseases, and so anytime there's something that's the fault of the client, they still have to pay for those expenses. So this is why it works in our operation. So because we have the two operations, so at Flying Diamond Genetics, which we run now everything up there at the North Place, we calve ETs in February and March, and then we throw in cleanup bowls. So we have natural service to the end of March to mid-April is when we're calving. And we use those cleanup bowls for 30 days. And then we implant in May and June. We precondition in August. We're weaning and delivering in September. Then we're calving fall ETs in September. Natural service ends in September for October for another 30 days. And then we're implanting again in December. The only reason that this works in our operation is because of how our home herd is set up. So at home, we're calving heifers the end of April for 28 days. Then our cows are starting the end of April for 40 days. And then we're breeding season July and weaning in October. So you can see how we can work those two operations together. So literally, if you're reading that right, yes, we do calve 7 months out of the year. Thank God we all like calving. But at the same time, we're doing seven different groups. So it also provides us really unique ways in marketing those animals, too. So have learned a lot of lessons over the last couple of years of getting involved in this business. The first off is to be really selective of recips. People often come up to me and say, hey, I bought some of this stuff at the sell barn. I'm going to take these home and turn them into recips. that might work for you, it would not work in our operation. The biggest thing that I've learned is it's very important to know what kind of cow you're using as a reset. Fortunately, I've been able to pull the majority of our animals from our ranch, from the cow herd I've been raising since I was 8, so I knew their genetic makeup, keep full records on all of those, so I knew everything about those cows. The ones that I did have to purchase with the lease agreement, the biggest mistake that I made there was I didn't mouth those cows. And if I would have done that, that probably would have said it saved us at least a year and a half of heartache on those, which is the second step, mouth any purchase females that you get. Because somebody can tell you that these cows are 3 to 5 years old, but till you actually see what's in their mouth, you don't know for sure. Select clients based on your belief. This was something that I really struggled with at first, because our goal as an operation was at the home place was to run as efficient as possible. And I had to change my mindset from a commercial producer to a more of a seed stock producer, where it's more on a pound basis. It's more getting the feed into the animal. It's more having an animal that's ready to either go to the show ring or else go to a purebred cell. And so it was a different mindset. I was using creep feed. We had never creep fed anything in years, and here all of a sudden I was having to learn all the differences in creep feed. And change the mindset. So you find out if things don't work, or if something doesn't work, you have to be willing and okay with changing it. One of the things that we did, for instance, is we ran everything through the corrals up at the lease place and found out, well, hey, this, you know, we're kind of maybe stressing our cattle out just a little in these corrals, just the way that they're set up. So let's do like we did at the home place and take all the equipment to the cows. So we implant everything out in the pasture now. So it's really beneficial for us. The cows come right out of the chute, they go right onto grass, and it's a lot lower stress on everything, because everything matters when you're implanting embryos. You sneeze funny, you'll lose an embryo. It's that particular. So the future outlook that we have right now is one that's really interesting and one I'm super, super excited about, kind of like a kid at Christmas over this. We have actually got some great partnerships this year with Neogen and SenseHub. Both of those have booths here today. I hope you had the opportunity to stop and visit with them. So this is what we're looking at in the futures. We're looking at developing these partnerships, utilizing technology, and continuing to think outside the box for both of our operations. So for those of you that aren't familiar with Neogen, what it does, it is ranks and select replacement heifers. This is some of the things that you can do with iGenity. You can produce feeder cattle that fit your market, score commercial bulls, verify sire percentages, parentage, and they use 16 traits to determine this. And they do it on a score of 1 to 10. So we actually just did our iGenity results on our replacement females this year, and it was fascinating to be able to get some of that data back and analyze it to see. So next year, what will happen is we'll do the majority of our heifers. We'll base our replacements on 14 parameters that we have set, along with phenotype, along with iGenity results. And from those open heifers, because as you could tell, I said earlier, we only do a 28-day breeding season, we will take those who are genomically more maternal-focused, and they'll go into the reset program. Now, those that are showing higher carcass traits, so for instance, those heifers that were in the dog demonstration today, those are our feeder heifers, just a load of feeder heifers off grass. Though the mates to those last year ended up going to Gary Darnell's lot, who you heard speak this morning, they were 46% prime. So how do we get that? How do we get those heifers in that lot and the good maternal heifers up into recips? So that's something that we're really utilizing right now by using genomics in order to help determine and maybe find some of those patterns that we think are out there. So this is one that we're also super, super excited about, especially in the recip side, is SenseHub Beef. It's an all-flex program, and we actually just had it installed where we're running our fall recips on Monday. Yesterday afternoon, we were tagging cows with the SenseHub tag. It's about this big. It's along the same capacities of an EID tag. And what this has the capability of doing is it can give us minute-by-minute update. It takes minute-by-minute readings of that cow based on their activity, their rumination, some of their temperature, their heart rate, et cetera, and what it does is it will send that to a station. In this case, we got the station mounted on an REA pole that's overseeing the pivot, and then it sends it to a laptop that can send any of that data right to an app on our phone. So I can be sitting here in a week from now and look at my phone, and I will be able to tell what cows are cycling, the length of their cycle, and also the intensity of their cycle, which in the recip world is huge. So the money-saving possibilities here of nickeling and diming, we may never have to preg again. We may be able to turn our bulls directly after we implant embryos instead of waiting 10 days. Or we may be able to utilize this in ways that we don't even know and can't fathom yet. So there's a lot of potential there with some of these technology programs that we're using that we're extremely excited about. So in the long run, we're hoping to take some of the guesswork out of commercial production. I mean, I can go out there and sometimes I can phenotype or take that performance data just as well as some of you in this room. But at the same time, I don't know if it's the right data that I'm sending my herd the right direction to where I want it to go, and I need to have those commercial producing cows at home, but also I need to be able to take those cows and turn them into recips for my client or direct market those cattle also to on the carcass side. I need to have all those capabilities. So, and finally, I think the most important thing we can do is we got to realize we need to always have fun with what we're doing. So the technology proponent of this has been really exciting for us, and we're really enthralled by this. But at the same time, we really do like to have fun out of our operation. That was Halloween. We were actually roping sick calves out in a unicorn onesie because I think that's what everybody does on Halloween. So if you guys have any information at all, have any questions about this, there's a number of ways to get in contact. We try to have a pretty good presence on social media, and we're constantly giving updates on the Neogen and also on the Sense Hub programs through Facebook, through Snapchat, Instagram. I also write for 5 different ag publications weekly that go out to about 60 to 80,000 producers throughout the Midwest. You can visit those on MidwestMessenger.com or follow us on Twitter or email. But with that, I thank you for the opportunity to come and share this, and we'll be around later for questions.